soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name.
It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Worship His holy name.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name.
You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Worship His holy name.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still, my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
This is good. This is a great day. Day to have fun. Day to worship the Lord. day to move and share together in His precious and holy name. Also, today we're going to eat Gene's beans that we've heard so much about, and Ken's cake. I'll guarantee you, we're going to enjoy today's very, very special time. Well, today we want to reach your summit. How do you reach your summit? Now, you think about a summit. A summit is that on the very tip top. Each one of us will have a summit in our life that we want to reach and we want to capture. But it takes a journey to get there. And so on this journey to the summit, to the top of the mountain, where we can really get this beautiful picture, many times it takes a guide. And so as we think about the guide for us today is going to be none other than the Lord Jesus. Because He offers Himself to be this guide. Now, in the course of this journey, we're going to take you around 2,184 miles on the Appalachian Trail. And you can say, wow, are we going that far this morning? Yes, because we got all the food we need, so you don't have to worry about cooking food. It's already there and it's waiting on you. So as we take this trail, the Appalachian Trail, we're going to go into the areas that are scenic and woody and culturally resonant. It was conceived in 1921 and it was completed in 1937. And today it's maintained by the National Park, the Appalachian Trail Conservation, and many state organizations. But you can say, now what's so important about that? Because sometimes you have to catch a little glimpse of the glory to make it to the summit. You have to have something inside of you that's really at work that's going to carry you the distance. Now, along this way, we're going to show you there's 165,000 little markers. Well, it is on the Appalachian Trail. For us, it's going to be our guide to say, look, here's the direction. Now, to get you there, though, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And so, inside of this picture, you kind of got to get a little warm up so you can capture the glimpse. And in chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, Jesus declares Himself as the Messiah. Because He comes up and He says to this group, this band of men, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? That same question is being asked today. Who's Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Well, some said that you're Jeremiah. Some said you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say, well, you're one of the prophets. But He got real pointed to them. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter spoke up and he said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. In light of that, Jesus told Simon, said, Simon, you didn't pick that up on your own. My Father told you. And after He told him that, though, a major twist occurred. He began to tell them that He was headed toward the cross. They didn't want to hear that. Simon Peter took Him aside and said, look, Jesus, if we're going to make it to the summit, you don't need to talk about this dying kind of stuff. Jesus said, Simon, you back off. You're walking down the wrong trail when you talk like that. Jesus turns around in verse 24, 26. He says, look, there's a great cost that's going to be involved in this. And if you're going to follow Me, if you're going to make it to the top, it's going to cost you. What you're going to have to do, you're going to have to give up your own desires for My desires. You're going to have to give up trusting in yourself or trusting in Me. Because if you don't trust Me, you'll never make it to the top. But when you do, I want you to know there's a journal. There's a journal going on. And this journal is about your life. And this journal, you're going to be rewarded for the good things in this journal. I suppose that in your journal toward the summit, there's going to be a smoked Boston butt. There's going to be some bean casseroles and some fried chicken and a cake. Man, there's going to be on your journal. It's written down. Hey, it's not forgotten. So inside of this journal right here, we're going though, but all of a sudden Jesus leads us to the point. And after this, He told the guys, He says, look now, what you've just learned, I don't want you to tell anybody until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. In other words, I've been to the summit. I'm going to guide you, but you got to stay close to Me. Well, what is this driving force that's going to help you make it to the summit? And as we take this journey, these actual journeys, I want you to know that Jesus declared that He's the Christ. And so the guide to the summit is going to be the living God. Jesus declares that the way is a suffering leading to the cross, but Jesus is going to submit to you that I know what suffering is all about. Jesus declares the cost of taking the journey, and Jesus says it's going to demand you to carry your own cross. Jesus declares the rewards, but He says, I'm keeping the journal. Jesus declares the representation of the resurrection and the summit. When you get there, it's going to be to the entrance of heaven and eternity. And He says, I'm going to be there to greet you. I'm going to escort you there. I'm going to make you there. You're going to learn it. You're going to understand it. When you take this journey, off of a documentary, Appalachian Mountains is what I watched a lot of this. One of the interesting things to me was those people who take that trip of 2,000, about 156 miles, they say their life has changed. You know, you take a journey. A guy 70 years old made this trip. Over 2,156 miles. His life was changed. It took him 7 months to travel that distance. But he said it changed his life. You see, the invitation that we're going to be receiving today to take the journey to the top of the mountain, one must believe that Jesus is going to change your life. Chapter 17, verse 1, book of Matthew. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. They went up Mount Hermon. It was an invitation. It was an invitation to come. Because you see, you'll never make it to the summit unless the Father tells you to come. And this invitation, Jesus gets up front and personal. Because Jesus said, look, I'm the way. You've got to follow me. I'm the truth. And no man's going to come to the Father unless my Father calls him. Folks, if you don't have that calling inside of you, you're not going to make it to the top. Well, many say, well, why do I need to go to church? If I'm going to make it to the summit, why do I need church? Well, Ecclesiastes was very good when they said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falleth. He hath not another to help him up. And if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against another, two shall stand with him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Why should I go to church? So listen, folks. The journey's tough. The journey's tough. And two or three can help you make the journey. Because if you fall down, somebody's going to help pick you up. In fact, the Journal for Safety, Personal Safety and Awareness Tips for along the Appalachian Trail, they say hiking with a partner adds a measure of safety. And so what the Lord is wanting us to do, He's wanting us to say, come go with me together, and together we will make it to the top. Like I say, there's some mile markers along the way. One of those special markers is found in John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he goes on to say, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Hey, look, you got any problems? Let me tell you what's going to be on your journey. You go to the Appalachian, you know what you're going to have? Ticks. the American black bear. Venomous snakes. Mosquitoes. Big mosquitoes. Chiggers. Limited water. Diarrhea because of drinking the water. Poison ivy. Do I need to go on? Okay, that's enough. So going that way, remember, hey, look, in taking that journey, you need somebody to go with you. A trail marker. And let me tell you who that person is. Verse 2 gives you that inspiration when he says in chapter 17, verse 2, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. The transfiguration. One must trust their guide to the summit with their very life. Jesus took these three guys and they went up on Mount Hermon. And he said, let's go up there, guys, because I need to pray. And while they were up there, all of a sudden, his countenance changed. His face began to glow. His clothes were white. They saw him. Do you trust him? He was dressed in the Shekinah glory cloud. And we say, well, what does that glory look like? It looks like, according to Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, it says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the mountaintop, and the eyes of the people of Israel saw it. What was this glowing? He was there, dressed, a glimpse. And so, therefore, this glimpse of the glory helped them to go the full distance to the journey. Hey, there's other people who've seen that. Let me list a few of them to you. One of them, his name's Paul. Paul, he was also known as Saul. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul caught the glimpse. Daniel caught the glimpse when he says, and they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel caught it. He knew that when you make it to the summit, that you're going to shine. Stephen caught the glimpse of the glory. When they took him, just before they took him out to stone him to death, he stood before the Sanhedrin. And he said, I saw heaven open. And I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. He saw the glory. And when he saw the glory, he went the distance. But wait a minute. What's that inner drive inside of us? All of us need those little 2x6 little markers on that 2,156 mile journey. 165,000 markers on that journey from Georgia to Maine. All of us are going to need it. And there's trail markers. And look, we've been given a trail marker. In John 6:51, Jesus said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, and I will give him life for the world. He was transformed. He's a bread. Check out the markers as you go. And then, all of a sudden, the information starts flowing. The journey to take this trip up the mountain, the journey to the top is demanding. And it was so demanding on the Lord Jesus Christ that verse 3 says that Moses and Elijah appeared to him, to talk to him. The book of Luke, in the same story, says that they were there to discuss the decease of Jesus that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. What were they there? Moses, the lawgiver. Elijah, the prophet. Neither one of them could get you up the mountain. The law can't get you there. The prophets would point to the person, but they couldn't get you there. But they were there to discuss the trip up Calvary. And so therefore, this eternal destination that was before them, they discussed this and the glory was there. Now, you know, you kind of capture some glimpses along this way. In our Sunday school class this morning, our small group, we're saying, do people know, when you die, are people going to know you? If two people are in heaven, are they going to know each other? And you know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says, yeah. It says, yes. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians verse 12, it says, for now we see as a glass, darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Wow. To travel up this trip, this journey to the summit, it's worth it. Because other believers are there. Big Mama's there. Big Mama used to stand about this tall, hunched shoulder, false teeth, hair that went down to her ankles. And when she took out her false teeth, and she threw that hair over her head, and she looked at you like this, fear struck. Big Mama is going to be waiting there, but she's going to have all her teeth, okay? She's going to be waiting there, and I'm going to know Big Mama. She's going to be there, traveling up this mountain. Listen, folks, it's worth it to know that when I get to the summit, there's going to be people that I will know. Yes, the good news is I'm there. The greatest surprise is some of the people that I thought was going to make it to the summit, didn't. The greatest shock is some of the people that I thought couldn't travel up the mountain to the summit made it. Up the trail to the summit. And when you begin in Georgia and you go to Maine, the last 20% of the journey, you have to put 80% of the energy to get there. It's kind of strange, but that's what the hikers say. Sometimes it's that last stretch that you and I go that becomes so difficult, making it to the top. But there's another mile marker. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever come after me are thieves, and come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Hey, by me, you're going to make it. But wait a minute. On that journey, sometimes there's some miscalculations. It really is. A miscalculation often exchanges the good for the best. And so in verse 4, Peter gets so excited and said, "Lord, it is good for us that we're here. And if you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Well, what would you have said if all of a sudden you woke out of sleep, Jesus was standing there, "Lord," and he said, "It's good." You know, positive, it was good. It was good that he was there. And it was good that he sought the assessment of the Lord Jesus. "Jesus, would you like us to make 3 tabernacles?" But wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? The negative is Peter sought to place Moses and Elijah on equal terms with Jesus. And the negative is Peter missed the purpose of the event. The event was not to look at Moses and Elijah. The event was how to make it to the top. And that was Jesus. Your good intentions could create distractions. And sometimes it just kind of makes us move away. But I want you to know something. Those men who did blaze the trail, men like Moses and men like Elijah, they're encouragers. The Word of God, the law of God is to help you stay on track. The prophets are there to help point you to Jesus and go the distance. Another mile marker, John 9:4. The Scripture says, "I must work the works of Him that has sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world." Hey, follow Jesus. He's the guide. Because then all of a sudden you get so excited, and even though you miscalculated what was happening on, then the anointing comes, and God the Father placed His seal of approval on Jesus as a true guide. Because verse 5 says, "While He was still speaking, behold, a bright light overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of heaven saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him.'" I love it. The Shekinah glory. Just all of a sudden, while Peter was talking, Peter and I had a lot in common. You know what? Sometimes he put his mouth in motion before his brain was in gear. Do y'all ever have that? And we also have this swap problem too. Sometimes I feel like we swap feet. You know, take one foot out and put the other foot in. But Peter was there. Man, he was wrapped up in there. And while he was saying all these big things, all of a sudden, the glory of God came down. And the glory and the voice came out. And out of this moment, an undeniable voice was there. God the Father said, "This is My beloved Son." Oh, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." And God the Father said, "This is My Son." And then He was not a political, this was not a political commercial. He said, he didn't say, "I approve of this commercial." Y'all know any of that's going on right now? But what he did say, "I approve of what Jesus has done. My stamp of approval is on Him. He's the guide. He's the guide." And so he told Peter, he said, "Peter, shut up and listen." I love that. That's what he said. And so when he closed his mouth, then Jesus could really get through to him. Because Jesus said, here's the trial, here's the marker, here's the trail marker. Jesus said, "I am the way, I'm the truth. I'm the life. Oh, Jesus said, look, come on. Now, when you do this, though, all of a sudden, you can have a recalculation inside of your life. And this GPS system comes into force. And do you ever have you ever heard that voice say, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating? Wouldn't you want to shoot that gal? all of a sudden. But there's sometimes there needs to be a recalculation that goes on inside of us. Verse 6 says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. But they hit the ground. Man, when the glory came out, they bit the dirt. Three emotions. One, they heard the words of the Father. Two, they humbled themselves. Three, they hit the ground in fear of God and humbling themselves before a holy God. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and He shall lift you up. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And folks, what we need today is a good, healthy dose of reverence and fear of God. And so, we do this. And you know what? That's a common thing. Because if you go back to the AT, the Appalachian Trail safety guide, you know what they tell you in the warnings there from the government? He said, be mentally prepared for the risk that you may encounter. Folks, in the journey to your summit, you've got to be mentally prepared. You've got to have it up here, and you've got to have it in here, because there's going to be difficult stages on that journey to the top. But here's another mile marker. Then spake Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There it is. Jesus is the light. Well, hit the dirt. The story continues on. God affirms, and then all of a sudden, Jesus, God's guide, encourages people to move toward the summit. Verse 7 said, but Jesus came and touched them. Arise, and don't be afraid. Jesus came to those who humbled themselves. And in love and in compassion, He reached out there and He touched them. John 15, 13 says, greater loveth no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus was there. And He instructed His disciples. He instructed this band of men, get up off your faces and keep walking. And that's what God is telling us today. We must get up and we must keep on hiking. In the documentary of the Appalachian Trail, one of the clips, it says, each day, you bed down at night. You sleep in the tent. The next morning, you get up and you walk another 15 miles. And then you bed down in your tent. And then the next day, you get up and you walk another 15 miles. And then you bed down in your tent and you get up and you walk another 15 miles. What keeps us going? I submit to you, it's something far greater. In John 6, 35, another marker said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says, I'm going to give you the food. I'm going to give you the energy. I'm going to give you the will to go to the top. The continuation, verse 8, says, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Oh, the continuation. A proper focus opens one's eyes to see the truth. And they followed Jesus because Jesus is the right way. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. See, many of us have our own ideas of this is how you get to the mountain. And when you follow it, it only leads to death and destruction. But when you open your eyes, John 14, 6 says, Jesus said, I am the truth. And then He said, they saw only one person. All they saw was Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What happens here? Only one name. Only one person. Only one way. And when they opened up their eyes, they saw only Jesus. And the fact about the matter is, that's all they needed to see was Jesus. The mile marker, the trail marker, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now I've carried you about 2,100 miles, but I got to carry you the last 30 miles of the way. And this is the last point. I got to carry you to the top. Because this is where it gets really, really great. In verse 9 it says, now they came down from the mountain. Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. What did He say here? You cannot stay on top of Mount Hermon. You got to go down into some valleys, and then you got to continue to go to the summit. You got to leave the Mount of Transfiguration and reach out. Jesus put a gag rule on His disciples, and He says, don't tell any man until what? Until, He said, the Son of Man is risen from the dead. The facts that I can live with is Jesus spoke of His life. Jesus spoke of His death. But Jesus also spoke of His resurrection. And so therefore, in the resurrection, Jesus spoke to His disciples, saying, take it to the top. Take it to the top. And when you get there, tell some people. The last mile marker in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And He said these words to Martha, believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The path to the summit begins with an invitation from Jesus, who will right before your eyes be transferred, providing information necessary for the journey. At times our understanding of the information produces undesirable results. When this occurs, our Heavenly Father will guide us through His Holy Spirit. We will recalculate our global position. At that time, Jesus will offer encouraging words so that we might not lose focus on Him. And when our focus is on Jesus, we will join Him at the top in the resurrection. Now the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you believe this, then when Paul said these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You can travel to the top. You can reach your summit. You can experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the question is, do you believe? Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we have made a long journey. In one sense of the word, we've gone from Georgia to Maine, walking about 15 miles a day. We've looked at 165,000 markers. We've been guided. We see that the trail was blazed with Moses and Elijah. And our guide is Jesus. And we shall make it to the top. The resurrection. And in the resurrection of Jesus, the gate of heaven is thrown open wide. Father, I pray for each one that is here this morning that they will follow the guide. The guide is Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to release anything that would hinder us from making the journey. Help us to focus in on You and keep our eyes set on You. For in that, we'll make it to the top. In Jesus' name, amen. A day, a time of invitation. On a roundup, what shall we do? We answer the question, do you believe it? If you believe it, then what you will do is you'll give your life to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, You're my guide, and I want to go all the way. Tell Jesus what you want in your heart. He'll guide you all the way. If you'd like to let us know that you've asked Jesus into your life to make your guide, I'd like to know that. Come down front and tell me. Some might be saying, you know what, I'm on this journey, but it's getting rough right now. Maybe you need to do like Jesus did. He got a way to pray. When He started praying, things started happening. Maybe you need that moment in prayer at the prayer altars. Others are looking for a church home. We'd love you to be a part of us. But the question is, do you believe this? Has God given you the glory to help you make it to the top? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.